are literally moms from all walks of life. There is so much wisdom and things that other women have gone through and are going through. I think that's why we're here. That's why we're having these conversations.
What's up, everybody? My name is Brandon R. Scarborough, and welcome to an episode of Raising Kings. Raising Kings is a podcast dedicated to single mothers to talk about challenges, successes, how to raise these young men, and anything in between. And so this is one of the first episodes that we're starting and having. And so I want you to sit back, enjoy it. I'm not going to be here long. I'm going to try and give you as much information and help as possible. I'm in this lane because I'm the founder of an organization in Akron, Ohio called Dreams Academy, which is a mentoring organization for young men and for young women, but I have a heart for young men. DREAMS actually stands for Developing Responsible Extraordinary Males for Success. I hadn't said it in a while, but that's what we do. And in line with that, we are opening a school in Akron, Ohio, August of 2025 for young men in kindergarten through second grade. And so that's a big deal for us, along with our mentoring program and along with another program that we run called The Village, where I have my two ladies that help us out run The Village. The Village, matter of fact, I'm not going to tell you about it. I'm going to let them tell you about it. Introduce yourselves and tell them all about The Village.
Well, hello. My name is Kalea Tucker. I am one of the members of The Village. It's me, myself, and Ari. I don't like that at all. We're going to cut that out.
Oh, just, hey. It took me eight times, so, we figured it out.
The Village is a group for single mothers raising black sons that just need a village. You know, the saying goes, it takes a village to raise a child. And that is why we're here, to help these mothers find the village that they need and to build that village stronger, so that we can have a strong foundation for our young black boys in the community, so they can go out into the world and know who they are without. Yep, we're gonna cut that out too. I don't know.
Probably won't. I lost my... It's okay.
No, we can't cut that out.
Nah, we're gonna let it all ride.
Oh gosh.
Go ahead, Ari.
I am Ari, Ariel, Ari for short. I am the other half of The Village with Kalea. And like she said, it is community. It is compassion. It is support. And a lot of times on this journey, if you are a single mother raising a black son, you can feel very much alone. Mm-hmm. So we want to bridge the gap with that. We want to have specific things catered to you, to your children, to your family, to the young men that you are raising. So we are here to support you. Follow us on Instagram at The Village at Dreams Academy, and you can register. We have amazing conversations. We are talking about the things that mothers think and feel but do not say. So we invite you into the conversation and along the journey with us. And I'm happy to be here and all the things.
So listen, you do not have to live in Akron, Ohio to be a part of The Village. It's community. We're trying to grow it. And just one of the things I was led to do, let's start having conversations that members of The Village are talking about. I get tagged and post all the time when it comes to mothers who are in our city looking for mentorship, looking for just help, looking for answers, responses. And one of those things that help is, this is going to be a great plug here. I wrote a book called Talking Points, and it is a resource for single mothers to talk about just different things like hygiene, sex, violence, race, education, emotions even. And what the book does, it gives you prompts and questions that you can talk about with your son. So make sure you go to the website and purchase it at www.talkingpointsbook.com. talkingpointsbook.com. It's only $20. I think it's 10 for the ebook that you can download immediately. And so let's jump right in though, right there with, you know, some of the things even about the book, because I know Ari, mm-hmm. You are a single mother, correct? Mm-hmm. Kalea's married. And that doesn't disqualify anything. She just happened to be married and got some help raising her kids, I guess. Mm-hmm. He's a good guy. He helps out. But all right, talk about, you know, some of the things that I know you read the book, even mm-hmm. Some of the things that it may have helped you with, or some of the discussions that it brought up.
For me, as Adonis, my son is 13. His name is Adonis. And what I realized in watching him, and he's an athlete. So a lot of his emotions, he bottles up. And I had to actually pull out the book when I wanted to talk about emotions specifically. And I wanted to make sure I did it in a way that he felt safe and felt comfortable. So the talking points definitely helped me navigate the conversation. I was able to kind of go in with a little bit of a blueprint and a plan in the conversation. Because number one, we hear, or men are taught, like, black boys shouldn't cry. And he has heard that often, and not in our house, but he's definitely felt like, you know, I'm an athlete, I gotta be tough. So he, when he's embarrassed, when he's frustrated, like, he bottles it up, and it can come off with the tone. And I was like, oh no, we gotta reel it in, we gotta figure it out. Because what I know is, or what I recognize is, you have something going on and you may not know how to express it. So that's when I was like, went to the bookshelf, was able to pull it out and help navigate the conversation, with it being, number one, it's a safe space, you can cry, it's okay for you to cry. And then, what are you feeling right now? And then we were able to just end up having just a natural dialogue, for him to feel safe enough to say, this is what I feel. I feel sad. I feel frustrated. I feel angry. And I was able to navigate the conversation a lot easier than I think I would have. Because sometimes, like, you know, when your sons are going through something and they're frustrated and you feel like they're coming off defensive, you can kind of, I'm the mom, you know, buck up back a little bit. But for me, I think the book just helped me try to see it from his perspective and figure out, like, what, something else is going on. What's really going on? And then he has a young lady he's dating now too. So of course the sex part of that, I was like, okay. Sheesh, this is all the things, you know? So I was able to, you know, navigate through the sex, the birds and the bees conversation with him. And it didn't feel awkward. Cause I was like, I can make it so awkward and embarrassing. Like, yeah. He's mom, like, right. What's going on? So, I feel like I'll be able to use it in a lot of things. As he drives, you have a section about police. So I feel like there's just a lot you need to go to sometimes. And sometimes approaching the conversation is difficult and hard because I didn't know how to do it. So,
What was his, so I always get to hear parent feedback, but what was, like, his reception to the conversation, the way you were handling it? Like, did he open up immediately?
So at first I had to just tell him, like, this, you're not in trouble or anything. This is not, you know, I just want to have this conversation with you because you're growing. And I think once his walls were down, he just talked. I didn't cut him off. I didn't, and, you know, interject. I let him say whatever he wanted to say for however long he wanted to say it. And I think since then he has come, like, mom, can we talk? So wow. I was like, okay, like, you know, you want those things. Like, especially as he's getting older, he's going to be in high school next year. I want him to know, you, whatever it is, how heavy it is, how difficult it is to say, how uncomfortable. Like, I want him to know that it's okay to say what you have to say. You're not going to be in trouble for how you feel. I am learning to correct him on the behavior of how it is, how you're processing what you're feeling. That's what you may get checked on, but how you feel is how you feel. So he was able to, like, put his walls down. I could tell that it wasn't. He wasn't in there, like, with his shoulders up, trying to hurry it along. Because I can tell when he does that, too, so.
Yeah, one of the reasons that I'm in this work, and it's something that we talk about at Dreams Academy, or I'm sorry, Kings Academy. I got to get used to saying that. So let me slide in right there. Dreams Academy was our mentoring program for our young men. But now that we're opening the school, Kings Academy is the new name for our mentoring program. And so we just changed that this year. So I'm still getting used to saying it. But talking about emotions, so many of our black boys and black men, for that matter, are angry, and for a lot of valid reasons, actually. But that can't be the only emotion that we know. And I know for myself, it took some counseling and some talking to people about, you know, about that and what I'm angry about and all those kind of things, where I'm now in a space where I'm, you know, cool with it, and able to express myself. But even our young boys, I know one thing I talk about all the time, and this is not a negative piece to, like, sports and stuff, but if you ever look at all our sports pitchers, they mugging. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you can't scare the other team to a win. You got to be better than them. Mm-hmm. And for me, that bothers me, because they're learning at such a young age. Don't smile. Mm-hmm. Look angry. Mm-hmm. Play angry. Mm-hmm. Get angry when it doesn't go your way. And it's like, anger is just the foundational emotion. Yeah. then you're supposed to be having fun. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So nobody's smiling. Everybody, I'm like, yo, what are y'all mad at? Mm-hmm. Why is everybody pissed off? Mm-hmm. And so that's something we talk about with our guys. And I know that's something hard to change because I look back at old sports pictures. Ain't nobody really smiling. Mm-hmm. But ain't nobody looking mad either. You know what I mean? And so that emotions piece is very, and especially now with like a I think mental health is easier to talk about in this day and age, and people are starting to recognize the need for it and the need to have these conversations. And because back in the day, you used to tell somebody, you need to go to counseling. I ain't crazy. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That was first response. And, you know, and the reality is all of us are a little crazy.
No, I'm an advocate for counseling for sure. I'm in it myself. So. Yeah. And we just talked about the feelings wheel. And like you said, the foundation is anger. But like, are you embarrassed? Are you humiliated? And that's what I realized when I had to get the book out. I'm like, it's something else. You're not just mad because you can't be this mad at what just happened. Like a basketball game, like he was like, after they lost the first game, like he cried. And I was like, this is okay. This is okay. But like the way you're carrying it lets me know it's something else. So to me, I learned even how I have to approach him. I have to approach him like with a softer tone because he will shut down because he's embarrassed or he feels humiliated. He doesn't like that. So I had to realize like, okay, come at him when you're trying to tap into the anger gently, because what you mad at? Fix your face. Like that doesn't work. And I think that's my approach early on, being his mom. He teaches me, and I realize like I'm not getting through, and I don't want him to grow up to be an angry, you know, he's a little shorter, so you know, I feel like that has something to do with it. He plays against the bigger kids, so he feel like he got to be extra tough. But I want him to be able to, I think it's a superpower if you're able to control your emotions.
Absolutely. So, yeah,
I'm grateful for it because
Kalea, being married, what's your drive for interaction in the community, leading the community, having a heart for mothers that are raising young men?
I think it's because of the work that I do. Working in early childhood education, I've seen a lot of kids come through just the different programs that I've worked for, and I see the mothers and what they deal with on the day-to-day and how hard it can be. When they are, you know, these kids are 6 weeks to age five. And in that time, so much happens, so much development in a child. And people are like, oh, they're kids, it's daycare, they're playing. It's like, no, these kids are really learning, you know, and your kids see how you react to things. So I see, you know, these little boys that are angry at the age of two. Like, you're talking about boys that are angry, and it's like, oh, you know, maybe that's later on in life. No, they're angry when they're little because mom is working a full-time job. Mm-hmm. You know, she doesn't have a village, a strong support system or a safety net to fall back on. So I see where a lot of kids, they, like, where I work, they come to me during the day, and then their mom or whoever picks them up and takes them to another child care center right after.
Wow. Mm.
That stays open later. Now, these are kids that are not, some of them aren't even two yet. But think about that time. So they're dropped off, let's say 7:30 in the morning. And then they're not picked up till 7:30 at night to go home.
That's time for bed.
Right. You know, and so it's a lot that I think moms don't see when their kids are that small, because they're just like, I gotta work. They gotta go somewhere. You know what I mean? So they're not in regular school just yet, right? So it's like, I just need them to be somewhere where they can be taken care of and I don't have to worry and I can make money so that I can pay my bills. But it's a lot that they deal with that people don't see. Like, I see a lot of mothers that struggle internally, and it's like, I can't stop, you know, because who's gonna take care of these kids?
Right
Like, who's here to help? And I think that's where my passion comes from, is just what I've seen over the years and seeing that these mothers do need help, and that, you know, it's different when there's a little girl and there's a little boy, because the moms are like, I don't know what to do with them. Like, I've heard moms say, I don't know what to do with my son.
Yeah.
You know, especially if they're, you know, a hyper kid. And it's not even necessarily, they're like, well, does he have ADHD? And it's like, he, you know, some kids just have a little more energy.
Right.
You know, and they may need. Yeah, they're kids.
Don't mean it's medical.
Right.
He's a kid.
So they may need that extra time in the afternoon just to go to the park and play. You know, I had a kid that the parents told me, like, oh, well, that's probably the first time, because they were exploring the grass when we went on the playground. And they were like, well, that's probably the first time. That's really the first time that they've been in the grass. And I was like, oh.
Yeah.
This is a 2-year-old. That's the first time they've explored the grass. Like, things that we take for granted. Yeah. You know what I mean? And so my passion for this and mothers and just kids in general comes from the work that I do.
Yeah. There are so many, I guess, situational and systemic things that play into that. So when you're talking about a mother who doesn't have any help but has to mm-hmm. keep the lights on. Mm-hmm. And so it's not a matter of she don't want to be with her son.
Right.
I can't. I have to go to work. I have to work these long hours, sometimes 2 and 3 jobs. Mm-hmm. And so I get to hear a lot of these stories where, like, just like you said, I don't know what to do at this point. And there's no tutorial
right.
for parenting.
Yeah. There's no handbook.
It. And that's another reason I kind of want to do this podcast, to touch on so many different areas that a lot of times mothers don't, as we talk about what they don't have the community, they mm-hmm. don't have the friendship, they don't have a counselor, they don't have a therapist, they don't have anybody that's talking about these things. Mm-hmm. And first, just supporting them and encouraging them.
Right.
You know, and so that's the underlying reason for this. But let's talk about the stuff that is real life. Let's talk about what's real, but also say, hey, like, keep your head up, like, you know, we need you. Your son needs you. Mm-hmm. And I don't say that to put pressure on you, but, like, let's figure out some things together. And that's what I like about the village. I remember at the event downtown at Blue Jazz, where, you know, they were just coming with, I got this going on. Mm-hmm. They start crying and everything. Mm-hmm. But they just needed a space to let it all out and talk about, you know, sometimes it's not even just bad stuff. I just need to get something off my chest.
Right.
Because I'm in this space. But I have to be strong when I walk in the door, because my son gonna jump in my arms, mm-hmm. you know.
Right.
And so, you know, what are some of the challenges that you think that we've seen? Like, even think about our like registration form, where some of the mothers kind of just tell their story. What's some of the stuff that you've seen in there?
I think one of the major things is, like, behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mothers struggle with the behavior of their sons, and people may not like this, but, you know, being in this field for 17 years, I see that it starts when they're little.
Yeah.
You know, so if your child, from the time that they're able to walk and talk and understand things, if you're telling them, oh, go hit them, go beat them up. You know what I mean? Just because they're small and you're like, oh, well, they're little and they really can't hurt this person. But when they go to school and they're hitting on a kid their size, they're going to hurt them. Yeah. You know what I mean? And so, like, things that we will say, like, oh, go beat them up, or push them over, you know, and laugh at it and think that it's funny, or allowing them to say certain things and thinking that it's funny, they think it's okay. So then when they start to get 3 and 4 and 5 and they're in the classroom and they're cussing and they're putting their hands on people and the school is calling you, you're like, well, I don't know why he's doing it.
It's confusing
for them. It is so confusing.
Yeah.
You know, behavior is the biggest thing. I think, like, if we focus on behavior from the beginning, we will avoid a lot of headache on the back end, because...
And that's why that's why the school is starting at kindergarten.
Yes.
Because our mentoring program starts at 10, but because we didn't do those things at 3 and 4 and 5 mm-hmm. is why we need mentoring mm-hmm. at 10, 12, 15. Mm-hmm. And so I want to start at kindergarten to even avoid the mentoring piece. If you look in other cultures and other communities, they don't have a need for it. I've never heard, outside of, like, the Boys and Girls Clubs, that's for something to do.
Right.
That's not to change your mind. Mm-mm. That's not to to get you to change your behavior. That's just somewhere you can go play ball after school.
Yep.
And so our lighter skinned brothers and sisters, they don't have to have a Dreams Academy. Mm-mm. But you know, it's something that we need in our communities to help support our moms.
Absolutely.
And then, you know, I was telling a friend about me starting this podcast, and she said, she was a former single mother, and she said, don't you dare talk about this, and don't hold fathers accountable for what they don't do.
Oh, for sure.
And I was like, oh, well, yeah, okay, you're right. But that has to be discussed.
It does.
It has to be Absolutely. Discussed because their absence is creating some of these challenges.
And you know, the thing is even, and it's sad because even in some of the cases where it's a two-parent household, I still see the mothers more often.
Absolutely.
You know, and so I get it for moms, you know, whether you're married or, you know, in a relationship or what have you, like, it's a lot of it is still on the moms. And like you said, these dads don't get a break. They don't get a break. Like, and I see dads that pop in every once in a while, but they're not engaged. Like, for example, my son, I went to his parent-teacher conference the other week, and we had an online sign-up list. And I looked at it because I asked my son, I said, well, how many kids are in your class? He said 23. Six parents had signed up.
Wow.
Six. And I'm just like, man. And like, they had a little Valentine's Day dance for him. And we go down there. The gym is just about empty. Like, it's like maybe first and second graders in there. But like, he was like, I thought I was going to see more of my friends. And he's in the fourth grade.
Mm-hmm.
He just did a wax museum. He was Frederick Douglass. And you could tell what kids didn't have help with their projects.
Mm-hmm.
They were supposed to dress up like the person that they were portraying in. Some kids weren't dressed up. And I'm just like, when did we stop engaging with our kids' educations? You know, that was my first thought. Yeah. But then it was like, think about these single mothers that are working full-time jobs, mm-hmm. maybe 5 to 6 days a week. And it's like, I'm barely keeping food on the table and a roof over our head.
The question they have to answer is, do I go to the parent-teacher conference and find out what's going on, or do I go to work?
Do I go to work?
I gotta go to work.
Because I can't, because a lot of these jobs do not let you be a parent. Like, they do not care about the fact that you got kids. They want you on that clock doing that job when you're supposed to be there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so it's like, how do we balance that?
Yeah.
Like, it's a circus act, right?
It's hard to parent in survival mode. You don't know. You can't turn it off. So, mm-mm.
And once you get into survival mode, baby.
Yeah, then you're exhausted. So then when you're not working, you're exhausted. So you still can't give your son or your child the attention and the energy that you want to, even if you want to all your heart, you're exhausted at that point.
Yep.
So I think it is figuring out, which is easier said than done, how to come out of survival mode. That's what I'm literally like unlearning, how to come out of survival mode. Like, I'm learning little by little by little by little the things that I can do, because you know, we can tell our kids whatever, but they're going to do what they see. So how are we taking care of ourselves as Black mothers the best we can with the conditions that we're in to come out of survival mode, so you can make space for other things, rather that's a career shift. And it's like I said, this is not something that is, oh, I can, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not minimizing that at all. Like, I completely understand, but I think I don't see how, if you are always in survival mode for your whole entire life and you are constantly burned out, how you can nurture. Because if you can't nurture yourself and your environment, you can't nurture who you created. So I think it's like when we're talking about like the Black moms in a soft life, like it sounds taboo. It sounds like, girl, bye. Right. Like, that's not possible. But it's not a material thing. It's a mental and emotional work and a thing. So I think, like I said, it's work. It's work to be done. But I think it'll be a trickle down. You know what I mean? I think it will have no choice but to trickle down when you're nurturing your mental health, when you're learning about it, when you are slowing down a little bit and figuring out, okay, I'm burned out. Why am I burned out? What can I do to figure it out? I've been on my job 10 years, 20 years, and
I'm still in the same financial position. Like, is there something I can do? And now we're in a space where mothers are creatives. They run businesses. They're doing multiple things. So tapping into, which is why I'm glad, you know, the Village exists, because we want to tap into the other avenues that can bring, you're not just a mother. That's not your only identity. And I think when you tap into the other identities, you'll thrive as a mother too.
I think I heard you say you are slowly coming out of survival
Absolutely.
Mode.
Absolutely. Counseling, though, I'm an advocate for mental health, but it took me burning out and breaking down and struggling with anxiety and depression for a long period of time to realize, like, this is not okay. And when I started to see Adonis get anxious, like, it would be like Monday when he getting ready to go to school, and it would be like almost like how I felt Monday going to work. And I was like, oh, no, absolutely not. This got to stop right now, right here with me. And I started to just really figure out, what does it look like at home? Like, what is it like? So now he'll see me in my word, or he'll see me meditate. He'll come. You know what I mean? So it's little by little, but it is, I had to be serious about it, and I had to admit that I needed help. Yeah. I needed help. I can't do it alone.
And, you know, I just had this conversation, like, when you talk about anxiety and depression, and I've shared with you, you know, my journey with that. A lot of people don't talk about high functioning depression. You know, where you are still able to get up in the morning, get yourself together, go to work, pay your bills. You know, you keep yourself presentable, like
functional.
You're going through life, and you're still smiling. You're still helping people. You're still laughing. You're still hanging out with friends. Like. People are like, no, she's not depressed. She good. She was. I just seen her the other night. You know, I just seen her the other day at brunch with the girls. Like, but inside, you're screaming.
Yes.
You know, you are breaking down, and it's like, help me. You know, like, you are fighting, and you don't, because one, you could be going through it, and you just like, I don't know what's wrong. Like, just something don't feel right, you know?
Or it comes off as, like, agitation or irritation or anger. Yes, so nobody doesn't...
The angry black woman.
Yeah. So, like, they're walking around like, you're angry all the time. Yep. I'm not angry. I'm anxious. I'm burned out. I'm exhausted. Like, there's a lot of other things. Like, we're talking about whatever the top emotion is really layered
something
underneath that. So you snapping at your son because he playing basketball too loud, and you like, cut out all that noise. But you're really just like, I am anxious. Yeah. I'm sorry, Anamina. It resonated. That was real good to me. It resonated.
Yeah, but it's, you know, so it's how do we get mothers to see that you don't have to live in this. You don't have to be in survival mode all the time. And me coming from a single mother, that's pretty much what I saw. Like, not that she was anxious or anything like that, but I saw her working. I saw her grinding. Like, if my mother ever struggled, I didn't know it. I never knew it. Right? And I think there's another thing that we have to do that sometimes people can do and sometimes you can't. But going back to the source. Our parents give us all that they can, and we have to take it from there. They give us what they know. You know, and so we put the tools that they give us into our toolbox, but maybe that doesn't necessarily mean that our toolbox is full of all the tools that we need, because times change, the world changes. So it's like, you have to step back and look at the tools in your toolbox and say, what else do I need for me?
I think that's hard to do, though, because, you know, I think there's a lot of shame. There's a lot of guilt. There's a lot of, I got to figure it out. I don't have time to be anxious. I don't have time to be depressed. I think it starts with knowing and being able to, like, admit to yourself where you are mentally. And then I think you'll be able to reach out for those resources and be able to take the steps forward to come out of survival mode. Because I think it's easy to be like, oh, yeah, you know, you in survival mode. And then you're like, okay, how do I get out of that, though? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, everybody doesn't have access to counseling. You know what I mean? Like, everybody isn't able to see, you know, a mental health professional all of the time. So, like, learning how to do it at home with what you have, even if it's like we were talking about, starting your day, if you have 5 minutes, and rather it's the bathroom, the shower, like, you need a space to start and reset and navigate your day with some sort of stability and peace, and then that can set the tone for the rest of your day, and then gradually increase it as you can. But I think it just is one of those why we need a village. It's like the how. We know you may even know what's wrong, but how to get there is where the gap is.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's like we talk about the black mom soft life. Mm-hmm. And I would say that we're both on our journey of that, right? Mm-hmm. And for me, just recently, you know, at my age with two kids and a husband, like, I'm trying to figure out what my soft life looks like mm-hmm. as a black mom, mm-hmm. you know? And so for me in this moment, it's focusing on my mental and physical health. Mm-hmm. Because I know if I focus on my physical health, my mental health is going to get better, mm-hmm. right? So those are big for me. Making sure I'm getting myself moving and active. And I know it's hard for mothers to do that, but I encourage any mom, like, if you got 15 minutes in the morning or 15 minutes at night, you know, turn on a YouTube video and do a few stretches or exercises or movements, because it's helpful. It helps you a lot.
I'm just here now. I was just letting y'all roll with it.
Like, well, you know, so I'll ask you this. Being a man and coming in contact with these mothers and the stories that you hear, how does that make you feel as a man?
Oh, man. In the last 2 weeks, mm-hmm. I've had three kids in the psych ward. Mm-hmm. All three either tried or threatened suicide. Okay. Two bumped into each other as a result of Queens Academy. Mm. They on this floor say, "Hey, I know you." And it's like, I'm glad they know each other, but look right. where y'all at.
Yeah.
So that's a very, very heavy. Everybody ain't built for this work. It's a lot. And it's going to increase with us expanding to the school, because now we getting a whole new demographic of families that we may not know who have smaller children, and they might just be starting out with these kind of challenges. It's still fresh to them. Mm-hmm. With the mentoring piece, you know, most of our kids are pretty much preteen or in the teenage years, and so I think that the team we have at this point was definitely God sent, because I prayed for that, to send me the right people that can carry the weight of the stuff we will learn. Mm-hmm. And so there's not, I was in a meeting the other day, some kind of interview, and the lady said, give me a range of issues that you hear about with kids. I said, the range is endless. I said, from everything to behavior to suicide. I was like, to me, that's, you know, that's as deep as we can get. I'm grateful that our parents trust us to reveal those things. Going back to the piece about therapy, not only was the stigma about therapy being craziness, mm-hmm. but the other one that has probably been one of the biggest issues in our community and culture is what goes on in this house stays in this house.
Stays in this house.
And now, if you think about it, we have people who get anxiety on Thanksgiving because everybody at the table knows what happened, but nobody's talking about it. Mm-hmm. And if I do talk about it, now I'm the black sheep of the family because I told what uncle did. I told what, you know, and all of those things. And so people are like you just said, who's walking around depressed and, you know, still showing up. And we just have no idea what people have been through. Mm-hmm. And so, this work, I didn't ask for this at all, but it's gratifying to be able to say, please come talk to us. Mm-hmm. You know, we can point you in a direction somewhere, to be able to be connected to community partners that can say, hey, we'll embrace you and help. And, you know, even y'all talked about it. I was going to ask it, but y'all kept going. Like, what are the small things for those that don't have, you know, maybe the right insurance to get therapy and counseling. And so, you know, y'all spoke about what's on YouTube. Start there. Take 3 to 5 minutes with your day. But a lot of that is also us being supportive enough, I think, to parents to say, hey, there's a level of bravery we need you to embrace if you're ever going to come out of this. Mm-hmm. And that may be facing those things that nobody wants to talk about at family dinner, mm-hmm. Or Thanksgiving or Christmas, that, you know, these family secrets are killing families. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Go ahead.
Let's just cut out the whole, well, that's family.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't care.
Yeah.
And I tell anybody this. When it comes to my children, I don't care who you are. When it comes to my mental health, when it comes to my safety, mm-hmm. I don't care. I will cut you off.
Yeah.
If I don't agree with it. And people know that about me. Like, we have to be willing to stand up to those giants that we, you know, like, well, that's my like.
That cannot be bigger than what they did to you.
Right. Yeah. You know, it's sad because you see a lot of people that's like, well, that's my family. I can't turn my back on them. I can't. And it's not saying turn your back on them, but you got to deal with them in a different capacity.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm not going to subject my children to being around. Like, I mean, we all got those family members. Like we said, you said, oh, well, boys don't cry. So if I got somebody in my family and my son is crying and they like, oh, you need to suck it up. You a boy. You got to go.
Yeah.
You're not going to talk to my child that way. He is allowed to express himself. If crying is the way he expresses himself, he sure can do it. And you're not going to tell him that he can't.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we have to protect our children from people that are like that, that haven't dealt with their own issues and yeah. problems. Because a lot of people don't know that it's a problem.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
That's how they were raised. They're like, I made it. I'm fine. I'm here.
I think you said, like, why the group was started was to redefine the term village. Yeah. And then I think reevaluating safety and what that looks like, and knowing that family is not necessarily your bloodline, but it's who you do feel safe with, is and non-judged by. So, for example, like when we're talking about when you're going through stuff with your children, and behavior is one of the number one things that we hear. What stood out to me at the unwind event was how safe everyone felt to share. Mm-hmm. And nobody looked up like, oh, your kid be doing, like, it was none of that going on. It was literally like, you can glean from the wisdom. Like the one I remember her talking about, I do laundry on this day. My son knows if he don't do laundry on this day. Like, right. So she was basically, yep, like advocating for her mental health in her home, yes, by having a boundary, yep, with her son. And all the mothers were like, yes, like, you know what I mean? It just, we were able to watch mothers like take wisdom from everybody else's sharing in a non-judgmental way. And I think that is where Dreams Academy, Queens Academy, Kings Academy, and the Village is set apart, because it's that, like, when we have family game, you know what I mean? I think that's how you start building that safety. So when you are saying, girl, I'm about to snap on my son, he done did such, girl, my son did, you know what I mean? I think you can pull from that wisdom and that experience of somebody else, because maybe your immediate family can't give that to you because they don't know. Like you said, they only had the certain tools that they have. And now we're a generation where we're going to find some tools or we're going to make it. Right. So I think that we have to know where to go.
Yeah.
And I think that's where, you know, where we come in, and we learning it together.
So I would say for moms that, like, that necessarily don't know where to go,
mm-hmm,
you know, first check your insurance and find out what is out there and available as far as resources for therapy for yourself and for your children.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times, like, we think that we just need it for ourselves, but our kids really need it too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think, too, really, really budgeting.
Like, I think we budget for so many other things. I think, like, so, for example, some jobs may cover, like, so, for example, my job, they'll cover 6 sessions, but then after that, I have to pay. But I'm like, okay, what can I cut out that maybe in a month, I spend such and such on fast food. If I can eliminate that, then I can, you know what I mean? So I think, too, just, like you said, just figuring out a way to check your insurance, and then figuring out a way, like, is there something, how many subscriptions do I have? Like, just, yeah, ways to figure out how to have just a little wiggle room. And then I know, like, in our community, we have, you know, if you don't have insurance, I think you can get like Minority Behavioral Health maybe is a resource that people can reach mm-hmm. out to get information, whatever, if you don't have it through your employer and stuff right. like that. So I think yeah. it's yeah, other options outside of out your there. Employment.
We just have yeah. to be willing to look for them and not being embarrassed,
mm-hmm.
you know, to ask for help. I just believe that, like, when it comes to mothers, like, once you have kids, a lot of mothers deal with postpartum depression, right? And I feel like if you don't handle that when it's postpartum, it just turns into depression. Like, it doesn't leave.
Mm-hmm.
It's not one of those things where, like, okay, my baby's a year old, I don't have postpartum anymore. No. Because you're still trying to figure it out. You still, you know, your body has changed. And it's not going to ever be 100% the way it was before you gave birth, right? Mm-hmm. So you're dealing with that. You have this new life that you are responsible for and trying to figure out how to give them the best life that you can,
mm-hmm.
you know, and get to know them and who they are as an individual. So it's a lot, like, in taking that time. I don't feel like, even in the hospital, I don't feel like they do enough for mothers after we give birth. I really don't. Like, you go through so much after giving birth, and then people come in than 24 hours and be like,
here go these diapers.
Here's all these papers. Yeah, here's these resources. If you feel this, if you feel that. Huh? What?
And if I'm not mistaken, this area, Summit County, is like one of the top 10 highest in the nation for infant mortality.
It is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep, and the 44320 zip code is the highest.
Wow.
But I think, too, another thing I would say for the mothers who maybe you don't have the time or the access to go to counseling or something like that, I think it can start small. I think you can do, like, there's free things. Like, I do, it's called Black Girls Breathe, and she literally has guided meditation specifically for grief, for anxiety, for depression, for things that Black women's bodies go through to regulate your nervous system, and they're mm-hmm. completely free. So you can find her on Instagram, and she has a audio book. So there's other, you know what I mean? Maybe you can't jump off the porch and go right into counseling, right. but you can do maybe a guided meditation in the morning. You can, like you said, look up a YouTube video and do something physical with your body. Like, even if it's, I'm going to line dance for 15 minutes in the living room mm-hmm. with my waist trainer on. Music. Like, I created a specific playlist that is for, like, my nervous system. You know what I mean? So I think you can start, you know what I mean? You can start small. You can start with, you know, a certain period of time and just be consistent in that and then grow it. And I think, you know, and I pray about everything. So I ask the Lord, give me space to rest and figure it out. And you'll be surprised how he'll put a resource. Like, I found the Black Girls Breathing by accident. Mm-hmm. So you just, it's doable. Mm-hmm. It does take some work and it does take community. So we're available to you. You don't got to figure it out alone.
Yeah. One of the things that will be in our school is I started our own behavioral health agency.
Yes.
It's called Hope House. And so, you know, we'll be able to have that for our kids on site and for our families. And so and for the community as well, once everything opens later on this year. But that's something I wanted to do so that we could even regulate how we do it. And say, hey, this is our culture in our school. I need my therapist to, you know, vibe in with us and, you know, do how you do and make it fit our culture and our kids and our family. So that's something else on the list of 1,000 things I'm doing.
Yes.
So, hey, so this has been extremely dope. I can't wait to drop this. Tell the people how they can reach the village.
So you can reach the village through our Instagram page, the Village of Dreams Academy, or Facebook. It's the Village of Dreams Academy. Follow us there. You can click the link to register, and you can reach both of us from those pages.
Cool. Make sure you follow the Dreams Academy page where you get to see all the stuff Dreams is doing, King's Academy, Queen's Academy. Probably the village too. We Dream USA on Facebook and Instagram, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Follow me on Instagram, Mr. Dreams Academy, on Instagram and TikTok actually. And we're kind of putting everything out there as all this stuff we're doing unfolds, even as I build this school and just do everything that it's taking to get that done. And so, hey, this was a dope episode. Hey, tell the people how they can find y'all if y'all want to be found.
Kalea Tucker on Facebook.
You know you got to tell them how to spell that. That's
K-O-L-A-I-A-H. It is not.
That's
It's biblical.
We was black in the Bible. And if we were, we was doing black stuff.
Yeah, so it's Kalea Tucker on Facebook. I think it's the same on Instagram. I don't know. No,
so if you request her, she might not see it for 3-4 months because she don't be on there. Like, if you don't know your name, you don't be on there like that.
Yeah, no, I don't. But hey.
Well, I'll just make it simple for y'all on Instagram, Official Black Sheep Beauty, because I have to spell my whole name for y'all on Facebook. So we just going to go with that.
Tell them what that is.
So Black Sheep Beauty. Wow, man. It is a lifestyle brand that is dedicated to letting you know that because God hand-stitched you, you are the luxury. So we do that through fashion, through poetry, through content, through a number of things, but it is a lifestyle brand. So yeah, you can check out my website. It's on the Instagram. Everything is linked there. You can check out my content and more about me on my page as well. Everything is pinned, so follow me. I'll follow you back.
Cool. Yeah. Grab the book, talkingpoints.com. Yeah. Talkingpointsbook.com rather. If you're a mom, I absolutely believe it will help you. If you got to this far in the episode, you heard I say hi, it helped her. And there's plenty more, so please grab it. And let it be a blessing to you. All right, y'all. Thank you. Until next time, we out. Peace.